I'm Katie Bornschlegel from the New York City Department of Health, and I'm presenting today on a recent change that we made in New York City to require labs to report their negative Hep C RNA results. This graphic shows the various steps of what we call the Hep C care cascade, with an emphasis on how it relates to surveillance data and how we can use our routine surveillance data and our new negative Hep C RNA results to monitor patients as they progress through the steps or as they stall out at a particular step. So as most folks probably know, Hep C diagnostic testing is a two-step process. First, screening with an antibody test, and then if positive, the RNA test is needed to determine infection status, because a substantial minority of antibody-positive persons will be hepatitis C negative, having naturally cleared their infection. So after the positive RNA test, a patient must get into care with a provider who knows how to treat Hep C, which these days is usually a gastroenterologist, infectious disease specialist, or a hepatologist, but also some primary care doctors are now treating. Patients get worked up to assess liver damage and consider whether or when to do the antiviral treatment, and that process includes a genotype test because the treatment regimen and success rate differs by genotype. Genotypes are also reportable in our jurisdiction, so we can track when this process occurs. The next step is to actually start the patient on antiviral treatment, and these days the treatments are excellent, so if the patient is adherent, most likely the viral load will drop to undetectable, and we can see that in our surveillance data now that the negative RNA results are reportable. So to summarize, we can use the surveillance data, especially now with the negative RNAs, to track where people are in the process and where people are getting hung up. We can use that to identify gaps, inform health department planning, and ultimately increase the number of patients cured. That decreases the number who will progress to chronic liver disease, as well as limit onward transmission. In New York City, to change what's reportable, we have two different options. Number one was to change the regulations. That would not require any formal public input. Number two would be to change the health code, and that's a public process, so we selected that path. In New York City, the health code changes are approved by a board of health, in New York City, that's the process, but it's different in every different jurisdiction. We started by compiling a certificate of necessity, which was basically a document outlining the rationale, discussing some of the precedents that are out there, and that's something that we can share with other jurisdictions who may be interested. We sought comments from stakeholders by mail, email, or in person. We received a suggestion to exempt blood banks, which we accepted because blood banks test everyone for RNA, and we didn't want to receive negative RNA results for people who hadn't previously tested positive for Hep C antibody. At a public hearing, there was no significant opposition voiced, in terms of the process, we elected to make only the laboratories, not the providers, be required to report this. And we also decided to import the negative RNA results only for patients who were already in our database with a positive Hep C test of any kind. The health code was changed as of July last year, and it took a few months of outreach through our IT staff, but by a couple of months ago, all of the 26 laboratories that do RNA tests were reporting their negative results through our electronic lab reporting system. This shows a little bit about how we're going to be using the data and depicts how we can follow people in the surveillance database through the care cascade. I omitted the numbers here since they're preliminary, and since we didn't require reporting of back data, we do need to wait until enough negative results accumulate in our database for the actual numbers to be meaningful. The bold on this slide on the left depicts patients with unmet needs that the health department needs to focus on in terms of outreach and linkage to care. And the green on the right shows the patients that we don't have to worry about because they're most likely not infected with the virus anymore. So the first step is to stratify by the most recent RNA result in the surveillance database. And over on the left, we have people who don't have an RNA result in the database. Those are the folks who still need their RNA test. Next, toward the middle, we have folks whose most recent RNA is positive, and these folks are definitely infected. Many will benefit from treatment. We can stratify by whether or not a genotype has been done for the patient. using genotype as a proxy for whether or not the patient's been worked up for treatment. If there's no genotype, then most likely the patient is not linked to care and hasn't been assessed for treatment eligibility. If the person has had a genotype, it's more likely that they have seen a specialist, but they still need treatment because, again, their RNA is still positive. Over on the right, we have folks whose most recent RNA is negative. Most of these folks are not infected and don't need to be targeted for health department outreach. And we can stratify further by whether or not they've ever had a positive RNA result. So the two bottom cells on the right are people who most likely spontaneously resolved the virus, and the people on the far right are people who were most likely cured. Just briefly to summarize, adding the negative Hep C RNA results has made our surveillance data more useful in identifying gaps in RNA testing and treatment. We can monitor progress and compare the percentages by patient demographics, by zip code. We can create maps. We can look by healthcare facility and by actual provider to look for where health department outreach needs to be targeted. And overall, I want to add also that we were pleasantly surprised by how well the process went, in part because we had a lot of great staff working on it, and it did take a lot of time. But in the end, we didn't encounter a lot of barriers in terms of the bureaucratic process of changing the health code, in terms of public response, or in terms of data issues. Thank you.